Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're going to be concluding this great two-part interview with Gerard Long, author of the book Living Hope, Awakening to Faith, Peace, and Purpose in Tough Times. Now, if you missed any of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. Gerard laid the groundwork for today's session, and I'm telling you, folks, his is a true-to-life story related to the book of Job. I mean it. I mean, you need to go back and listen. His testimony is powerful, to say the least. Amen? But hang on to your hats as we jump now back into the conclusion of this great interview with Gerard Long. Carry on. I want you to cover that, you know, things have gotten better in your marriage, though. Don't leave us hanging.
No. Well, you're right that you mentioned about my shortly after that, my beautiful sister died. I'll just give you an instance because it tied in with this whole thing of eternity that I'd seen. So she had cancer. We thought she was going to get over it. I was in the US. She was back in the UK in a hospice. I raced back to the UK to be with her. And then just before she died, she was like semi-conscious, like a fish out of water. She could hardly breathe. Just before she died, she suddenly sat up in bed and her eyes are staring out and she's looking. And my mother said, I know what's going on. She's seeing Jesus. And it was in that moment between her spirit leaving her body, she was getting a glimpse of heaven. Amen. And then she was gone. Amen. And it tied in with this whole thing of eternity for me, you know, with a twinkling of an eye, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Lord. Amen. And the same with my brother. A few years after that, unbelievably, my brother also had cancer. And I was by his bed when he died and I watched him. And I saw his spirit leave. And what I mean by that, it was that in the Bible, it talks about spirit being like breath, where he gave his last breath and his head dropped down like this. And I was watching him ever so carefully. And he didn't breathe in, but he suddenly went, whew. I think that was his spirit leaving him. It was amazing. So, and then unbelievably, at the end of that 8 years, in that time, I'd taken up a position leading Alpha USA because I had a heart for the lost. And now, because I was seeing eternity, I was desperate for people to come to meet with Jesus. But during that time, Rebecca had come, our beautiful daughter, had come and joined us in Alpha. And through Rebecca, she was living with us then. She helped Jeannie to recover. And our marriage, yes, it was restored. And Jeannie was now helping me in the ministry again. And we were walking together with Christ. She was getting back to the scriptures and everything else was great. But then unbelievably, on the 8th of May, 2014, Rebecca had a terrible accident and she drowned in Lake Michigan.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, I don't try and describe the pain because there aren't the words to describe it. Suffice to say that Jeannie knew she couldn't go on. I mean, she'd been struggling for 8 years to surface again after Alex, and she'd come through and she was now surfacing again. We had been to a wedding just a couple of months before, and the first time in 8 years she danced with me at the wedding. He turned my morning into dancing for thee. We were just rejoicing and suddenly, bang, we're smacked down again. She decided she couldn't go on and she was going to take her life. And she went up to Rebecca's room. And as she went into that room, this light came in there. She didn't see anything physical, but it was a light came into the room, so light. But more than that was just the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And she'd gone up as a shell. I saw her go up. She came down sometime later, and I looked over to her, and her face was shining. Like, I guess like Moses coming down the mountain, you know, we've been in the presence of God. Her face was shining. Her eyes were bright. I mean, she was completely transformed. I said, Jay, what's happened to you? And she described what had happened, how she'd gone into this room. She said the air She said she could breathe, so to speak, for the first time. And there was the presence of God, the love and the joy that was in that room. She sensed, she had a, it was like a portal in heaven because she sensed Rebecca and Alex behind her. But she didn't need to look because she was so taken up with who was in front of her. Mm-hmm. It was Jesus was in front of her.
Amen.
Yeah. And the Lord spoke several things to her. But the thing that was most profound, she said to me, was she said, he said, "Your Jeannie, your grief is not your own." Now, that's profound words. You think, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. But later on, we realized, because we said, okay, we're broken vessels, Lord. We, you know, this cup, we don't like this cup. We're broken and it's bitter.
Yeah.
But if this is your calling on our lives, we, by your grace, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful and use it now. And that's how Awakening to God Ministry was birthed.
Amen.
Out of that.
I wanted to ask you that question, because as I was reading your book and you know, seeing that part that you just shared about your wife, and I can absolutely relate 100% to what she was going through.
But yes.
When I read what you put in your book about your wife's experience, I was like, oh, that is the exact same thing. I mean, the sparkly and the whole thing, you know?
Yes.
And so that's why I wanted to bring that out, you know, for you to share. Because
that's amazing.
That's just not something that is unique. You know, well, that happened to her, but it won't happen to me. I had the same thing happen. You know?
Yes. And, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
And I just, because I was ready. I mean, I'd already made the decision.
Done.
This life's over. I'm done.
Praise
God, his mercy endures forever.
It is amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And you realize how much he's over our lives. And and really you're just left with saying, okay, Lord, by your grace, yes, whatever you want, yes, I'm willing to do it. I know I can't do it in my strength, and maybe the listeners can say that. We can't do this in our own strength. Even Jesus said, you know, on my own I can do nothing. So it's all by his Holy Spirit. He gives us the power.
Yeah.
And there's a verse in John 16:14 where Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said, "He, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine, which is his life, his victorious life, and make it known to you."
Yeah.
And really, that's when you realize that in our struggles and our sufferings, we have an opportunity to experience the life of Jesus in a way that we wouldn't otherwise experience it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we... and then we can be witnesses to say, look, this isn't just hearsay. I know this is true because
absolutely.
I've been through this, and he was there for me, and he strengthened me. We become witnesses then, and our testimony gets that much more powerful. And that's why we're still here. That's why we're still here.
You can't have a testimony unless you go through a test.
Yes, that's very true. That's absolutely true. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So what you went through, you mentioned the book of Job, and that's what I was thinking as I was reading your story. How did you find the strength to journey through all of that suffering? I mean, you know, even your wife was turning against you. And, you know, it seemed, you know, we talk about, you know, the financial problems and all that stuff. How did you just, you know, charge on through?
Well, I have to say that one of my favorite scriptures now is Hebrews 4, verse 16, which says that we go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in time of need. And there's a scripture in the Old Testament where King David, everything had fallen apart for him. His men were about to kill him. It had been a disaster. And 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it just says, "And David strengthened himself in the Lord."
Yeah.
Just a few words. Sometimes we miss these words in Scripture.
Yep.
What was happening in that time? Well, I believe he was going to the throne of grace. I believe he was coming aside with God and said, "God, I need you, you know, help." And that's one of our greatest, strongest prayers in times when we're really struggling is help. And I believe that God wants us to get us to that point because our relationship with him, the intimacy we have with him from that point on, goes to another level. Yeah. And then we're walking with him at a depth of fellowship of his sufferings.
Yep.
And we can then have this gift of empathy. where talks in Hebrews about Jesus. We don't have a high priest. He doesn't understand what he knows what we go yeah. through because he's been here. He's walked the walk. He knows the pressures. He knows how Satan attacks us. He knows that heartache. We see him crying in John 11 with Lazarus. He knows grief and all of those things. So he knows what we need because he's been through it himself. Amen. But now we become his hands and feet. And that's what we felt, Gene and I felt after all of this, was that we become his hands and feet because we can empathize with people because we've been there. Amen. And so to answer your question, it was, I literally used to go to that throne of grace and say, God, help me. And I still go. Lord, I need more patience. Yeah. I'm struggling a bit here with this or that, Lord. And you realize he's there for you. And this grace, this incredible grace, you know, more perseverance. It talks in Romans 5:5, you know, that so 3 and 4, it talks about tribulation, which leads to perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that doesn't disappoint because God's poured his love into our hearts. So the motivation in all of this, I believe, which is so important, is our love for Jesus. Amen. Is that we're head over heels in love with Jesus. And probably my favorite verse is Proverbs 4:23. Above everything else, my child, Amen. Keep your heart, because out of it flows the wellspring of life.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, if you're getting a bit stale, ask the Holy Spirit to pour in a bit more love.
Amen. Get that refreshing.
Amen. That's it. Amen. That's Amen. It. Yeah.
So yes. Why did you write Living Hope for such a time as this?
Yeah. So going forward now, this has been a bizarre journey. We still pinch ourselves in it. I was really fit and healthy. We were living in Malibu, and the Lord led us down there to start the ministry. Swimming, tennis, cycling. I was very fit. But on the 26th of October, 2019, I had a massive cardiac arrest. That's a cardiac arrest is when your heart literally stops, you flatline, no more breathing. It was in the middle of the night because I'd gone out to a friend's house to watch rugby match between England and New Zealand. And absolute miracle happened, absolute miracle. Friends were there. They didn't know to stop what happened. Then someone had a download for me to start doing CPR on me. There was the wife of the guys whose house it was a former nurse. She came down, I woke her up, came down in the middle of the night, couldn't find a pulse, no breathing. She's just, I'm sorry, he's gone. Mm. And one of the guys there was someone who I was sort of mentoring. He's like a spiritual son, and another one as well. And those two sort of kicked in, those two young guys. One of them was shouting at me saying, come back, Gerald, come back, like this. The other one was pumping my heart. And then, anyway, after 10 minutes, nothing. And then the first responders came and they went on for another 20 minutes and they were doing electric hot shocks to my heart. They did about 6 or 7 of those. And they were about to say, well, we've done everything we can. And my friend, these two young guys said, do one more, please. And they did another one and they found a heartbeat. And then I'm lying a bit later on. I had an MRI. It was no brain damage because the statistics are of those people who get a cardiac arrest, and that's when your heart stops, you flatline, outside hospital, only 6% survive. 6%, 6 out of 100. And of those, 90%, 9 out of 10 who survive have brain damage because of the lack of oxygen. I didn't have any. So I'm lying in my bed. I'm saying, God, why am I still here? You know? One sense, wouldn't have minded being in eternity, but
yeah,
I'm still alive. I'm still here. Why? And I realized that he was leading me to share these epiphanies and this journey so that people can see and hear how they too can go through whatever they're going through and God can take them through it. Mm-hmm. And they can have this hope, not just any hope, living hope, a living hope that things are going to get better. Amen. And more than that, a living hope for eternity. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Alex and Rebecca again, my brother and my sister, my other loved ones. Most of all, of course, we're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
And Amen. The future ahead of us is glorious. It may be tough at times, and I have some bad days from time to time. But you know what? When you see eternity, when you get the eternal perspective, it's a huge part of your decision-making today.
Yeah,
because you're seeing things in the right context.
Amen. 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 When you were flatlined for that 30 minutes, do you have any memories at all of that?
That's my most common question on that. And honestly, well, I don't, you know, maybe I will one day, maybe I'll, it'll all come, you know, maybe I did have a tour of heaven. I don't know.
Amen. But, the reason I ask that, you know, in the Bible where the Apostle Paul, you know, stoned and then they prayed and he came back to life. When I'm delivering a message or something in a church, I'm like, now, if I was Paul and I was in heaven with Jesus, and he says, okay, you got to go back. I said, no, I don't want to go back. I want to stay here. No, you don't understand. Fun. They're praying. You told them if they prayed in agreement, they get their prayers answered. They're praying that you come back. When I woke up, I'd be coming up swinging. Why?
Yes, that's right.
That'd be me. Yeah, that's Brother Bob.
No, that's right.
I wonder if you had any memories of that.
I don't, and I say maybe I will. It was so bizarre because I don't even remember the night before. It's the first recollection was waking up in the ICU bed, and my pastor was still standing in front of me. And then I started coming round, and I was told all the things that had happened. I mean, it was just absolutely bizarre. And then 6 weeks after that, this is where with Job, you know, we had those eight years before. This is now in 2019. We thought, well, okay, we've done our Job bit. And then we had this. And so now our health, 6 weeks after that, Jeannie's diagnosed with bladder cancer. Mm. And then our finances, this friend basically, was deceitful, and our money was out. So we had no savings, we had no insurance. So when I had the medical bills, I was facing $100,000 plus of medical bills, no money to pay for it. Mm. On top of everything else, so now it's our finances. We had a house in Lake Forest, but the house price is bizarre. It's bizarre. It's an affluent area. Had plummeted. We had no. Our equity was wiped out.
Yeah.
So it was like Job. Everything had been taken away from us. We were stripped, so to speak. But God got us through that time, and now it's not all paid off, but most of it is. I'm on a repayment program, so it's amazing. Jeannie's still battling with bladder cancer. We're hoping and praying that it's going to go. She's got another procedure next week, actually. Mm-hmm. So we still have battles, but we know that God's God. Amen. And he's over our lives, and this is not for nothing. Amen. And that's one of the big messages in Living Hope is if you go through hard times, never for nothing. God's, right. God's got a purpose in it, and he'll give you the grace for you to journey through it, and he'll give you comfort. There's three phases of going through hard times. Comfort is the first phase. It's a ministry of presence. Just be still. Mm-hmm. Restoration, where God restores you to how you were before. But then the third phase is to turn it around for triumph.
Amen.
Turn it around to help other people. Yeah. And that's triumph. That's where Genesis 50:20, remember that Joseph said to his brothers, you intended this for evil. Yeah, Satan, he intended to destroy us. Yeah. But God intended it.
That's right.
Amen. For the saving of many lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And that's what we're about now, is kicking Satan. In fact, when Jeannie had an epiphany when she was after Alex, and the Lord said to kick Satan in the teeth. Yeah. And that's the sort of heart. Okay, we want to turn this, see this turned around now, so there'll be millions of people who can be helped and become warriors for Jesus, hope warriors for Jesus.
There you go. Amen. Amen. Now, in your book, you basically describe the seasons of life. Can you share your thoughts on these seasons of life and how they apply to our listeners?
Yes. So a big part of the book is helping people to understand their purpose, the awakening to God. One is an awakening to who God is and how great he is. And then the other part of awakening to God is awakening to our specific calling, the unique calling that all of us have. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have three things that we're called to. One is love. We're all called to that. Great command is love. We're all called to the Great Commission to tell the people about him. But then thirdly, the third bit is all unique. We've all got a unique, specific calling, as Ephesians 2:10, on our lives. So the big question people have got, and this is where a lot of young people go off the rails. If you're a parent or grandparent, I encourage you to get this book for your children and grandchildren, because a lot of children today, young people today, what's my calling? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And of course, when you lose hope,
yep,
there's no purpose. That's when it leads to drugs and alcohol and can be suicide. Yep. So in the book, I help people say, look, here's the seasons you go through in life. And if you look at those seasons carefully, and I go through it in my own life, showing people how God was preparing me for what was to happen later on. He prepared me for all of this.
Yeah.
So we can go through this. So we have a season in our early upbringing. Our family, there's no coincidence which family we're in. You know, you didn't choose your family.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So what can you learn from that? What were you, the youngest, the older? There's a, in each season of your life, your early experience of spirituality, did you come to faith in Christ? Did you have an experience of the Holy Spirit? Did God touch you? What can you trace there? What are the abilities you've got, gifts and abilities that you've been given? It's not coincidence that you've got Amen. Those.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you start bringing those things together, and then you bring in the hardships, the trials you go through, now I start to see the sweet spot of God's call on my life. And when you give yourself and you're in the middle of God's will for your life, then you come fully alive. And then it's so very powerful. So the seasons are the times that God takes us through. And then there's a seasons that you can relate within that to autumn, winter, spring, and summer. And God's given us creation to help him understand,
Help
us understand him. So, you know, sometimes let's start in the summer. Sometimes, you know, everything's great. That's how I was before 2005. Everything was great. The sun was out. The birds were singing. The sky was blue. It was wonderful. And we all go through those things. And then things don't work out quite as we'd hoped. And the leaves start falling down. Things not working. And we wonder what's going on and where's God in it. And then we go into the winter. And I spent 12 years in Chicago. Boy, that was cold up there.
A little
and
bit.
And it gets tough. You know, it's tough. And we don't know where God is. Everything looks dead. There's nothing of life. We can't see anything around. And that's when your faith is really tested. That's when you've got to go deep in your faith in those times. Yeah. But then the spring comes. And suddenly you realize actually there's a lot of growth been going on. The trees grow more in the winter than they do in the springtime. That's when it gets strength. And God gives us strength in the hard times. There's a great bit in Psalm 105 where Joseph, it says, was in shackles in the prison. And the Hebrew actually says that God was putting iron into his soul.
Mm.
So in that time in the prison, the hardest time, the toughest time, he wondered, how is he going to ever get out of this?
Yeah.
God's putting iron into his soul. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does in the hard times, a perseverance. He prepares us. He's preparing us for what the work he's got for us to do in this life. And here's the bit we often miss, and for eternity. Yes, we got responsibilities in eternity.
Amen.
And we're being prepared now for that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amen. 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 Yeah. You know, I was going to mention this before when you talked about, you know, the amazement of eternity, how vast it really is. And we're going to look back on this life. I use the example, if you were in an auditorium and there was a rope running from the hallway through
yes.
the door, up across the stage, and then out the other way, and you don't see the ends, you don't know where the ends are.
But yes.
In the middle is this little 6-inch piece of tape.
Yes.
Bright red tape. That represents time as we know it.
Yes.
From beginning of time to the end of time. And our life is like a hair wrapped yes. around that.
Yes. That's right.
You know, the vastness of eternity, we have no idea of what it's
yes.
like. And everything we call time, I mean, you
yes.
can see, from God's point of view, it's only that big. And
yeah.
then our life, you can't even, from a distance, you can't even see our individual life. But
yeah.
your ultimate destination for all of eternity is based
yes.
on a decision you make in that
yes.
little hair breadth.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what is so unique about God. He sees it
that's
all,
right.
knows it all. And here we
yes.
think, you know, we know what to tell God.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's yes, just so backwards. But,
yes.
Who have you written this book for? Who is the intended
yeah. So I've written it for people who struggle in life, who are wondering what this life is about. They're trying to find purpose. Maybe some people who've lost faith because things happen in their life through no fault of their own, and they're where was God in all of this? And I want to give them hope. I want to give them a living hope to say, look, God does care about you. He's seen it. And it's okay to be angry. I mean, I talk in the book about that. So you look all through the Bible, through Psalms. I mean, many of the Psalms are laments. It's okay to shout at God, but just talk to him. Don't turn your back on him. Just talk to him or shout at him, whatever, and have a conversation, you know, because he cares and he understands. So I want people to have hope. And I ultimately want them to be comforted and restored and triumph, to be able to turn it around for good, so that we could see more people who are really in the sweet spot of God's call for their lives, living for him. We're not living for ourselves anymore. We're living for him and his will.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, Gerard, you have such a powerful story. This is so interesting and impactful. If someone wanted to get a copy of your book, how can they do that? Is it on Amazon?
Yes, it is. You can get it on Amazon all around the world. All the major bookstores have got it as well. And then if you want to know a bit more about the background, you can go on to our livinghopebook.com website, and you'll see a bit of the backstory. You'll see some of the photos of our family and hear a bit more behind the scenes. So,
Amen. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or possibly do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Best thing to do, you can contact us through that livinghopebook.com and or our ministry website, which is awakeningtogod.org. And you can contact me through that and just write me a note. And love to hear from you.
Amen. I'll put all that information down in the show notes below. Folks, not everyone will experience the deep pain and suffering as Gerard Long or myself. But what you have gone through or are going through or will go through in the future can be devastating if you're not connected to Jesus. Amen. I mean, that is the first step. Amen. Yes. But you can obtain your own copy of Gerard Long's book, Living Hope, Awakening to Faith, Peace and Purpose in Tough Times. Remember, I highly, highly recommend this book to you. It's not only for those going through a period of trying, but it will prepare you for the day when something does happen. As Gerard mentioned, you know, it's the seasons of life. And you will need to have a firm grounding in the Word and this book alongside of you to give you the comfort, wisdom, and advice to win in this race called life. Amen? So order your copy of Gerard Long's book, Living Hope, Awakening to Faith, Peace, Purpose, and Tough Times. Just use the links down below. And Gerard, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today, sharing all about your story in this great book, Living Hope. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Gerard Long, this is Pastor Bob saying, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.